Hallelujah. If we could turn in our Bibles to Mark the 10th chapter this morning, I would like to take the next few minutes here to preach what I feel the Lord has laid on our hearts for this service today. In Mark the 10th chapter, there comes a time in our life, you know, as humans, as people that God has made and established life and all of these types of things, there's something about people that love comforts. We love our fine cars. We love our nice clothes. We like our houses. We like all of the blessings, the comforts that God has given us. But we've got to remember, it's not all in the comforts. But at times, it takes commitment. And Brother Rutledge just almost preached this message this morning. He just did a fine job of it. But I'm going to endeavor to do it again, because I just feel that the Lord would have me to speak this morning, comfortable or committed, in Mark the 10th chapter, starting with verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, fraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all of these I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasures in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad in that saying and went away grieved, for he had great comforts, great possessions, great wealth. A man here who had the horses, who had the chariots, who had the fine homes, who had the fine apparel, who had the servants, he had the maids, he had all types of things who would take care of him. No matter what came his way, he knew that he was going to make it. He had it together. But he came and he asked Jesus, Lord, I want to go to heaven. Lord, I want to be a child of you. I want to follow you. I want to be what you would have me to be. And Jesus says, do the commandments. Oh, yes, you know, he buttoned his jacket, you know, and stuck out his chest. And he knew Jesus was going to pat him on the back. He said, I've done all of those ever since I was a child. Yes, I've stayed right with the commandments. I've never killed. I've never stolen. I've always honored mom and dad, you know. I'm just a good kind of guy. You don't have to worry about me. But then Jesus comes across with something that takes commitment. Now I want you to sell everything you've got and give it to the poor. Two things a man couldn't do. For one, he couldn't give and he couldn't follow. He couldn't give and he couldn't follow. There's a lot of people in the world today that like their comforts. They like to come to the house of God. They like to feel the presence of God. They like to hear the good preaching and teaching that comes across the pulpit. They like the beautiful music that's played and sang in the church. But there's something lacking. And it is a commitment within that says, no matter what comes my way, no matter what the world says, no matter what the world may try to offer me, I've got a commitment that it's going to last through everything. Hallelujah. 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 I'm talking about a commitment this morning that's going to hold us no matter how high the waves may blow against us, no matter how tough the wind may come against us, no matter how deep the problem, how high the mountain, as long as we've got a commitment, we can make it. I say we can make it. It was in 1836 in San Antonio, Texas, within the stone walls of the Alamo, that the General William Barrett Travis stood with some 187 men. And he said, you realize on the outside of these walls there's a Mexican army of some 5,000. They come to kill us, to destroy us, to take our very lives. But he took the bayonet that was on the end of his gun and he drew a line across there and he says, if you would want to fight this war with me, if you want to make a commitment, then step across the line. 186 made it across the line. One man laying over on a cot in a feeble voice, not able to walk across the line, but in his weak, sickening, feeble voice, he says, Mr. Travis, would you get somebody to drag me across the line that I may fight the battle too? One good could one little crippled man do? One lame, wounded man, what could he do? I don't know, but he wanted to be one that was committed. One that was committed. You know, they lost the war. All 187 of them, 88 of them were destroyed. There were men in there like James Bowie. There were men in there like Davy Crockett, who died, who gave their very lives. They lost that battle. But the cry that came from the Alamo that day went out across Texas and all across the Americas. And Texas won their independence because somebody said, I am going to make a commitment. Yes. You see, a lot of times we lose a battle and we feel like that's it. I'm giving up. I'm through. There's no hope for me. Just because we lose a battle doesn't mean that we've lost the war. Let's get a hold of a commitment that says, even if I lose this battle, I'm going to go on to win the war. I'm going to go on to see Jesus. I'm going to go on to make it to heaven. I'm going to go on home. I've got to make it.
Hallelujah.
I've got to make it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We can't make it to heaven without a commitment. We can't make it to heaven just because we've got the air-conditioned churches, just because we've got the beautiful sanctuaries, just because we've got the fine accessories of today. We can't make it to heaven on the fine knowledge and wisdom of man today. But it takes a commitment to get down on the hearts of men and women that says, I'm going to make it no matter the cost.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Matthew, the 25th chapter. There is a parable there of 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. The bridegroom was coming. The 5 wise, we know they had oil in the lamps. Their light was shining bright. Oh, they were just tremendous. But then there were the 5 foolish who said, no, ain't no need me getting all upset about it. I'll relax. I'll lay back on my bed of ease. I'll sit back on my self-righteousness. I'll lay back on my bed of comforts and on my bed of the beautiful things and just let the world go on by. And you see the oil in the lamp dwindled down so they had none. When the bridegroom came, who did he pick up? The ones with the commitment or the ones with the comforts? It took the commitment. The 5 who said, hey, I don't care what's going on. I need oil in my lamp. I'm going to go get it. Middle of the day. You mean right in the middle of my nap? Right in the middle of my evening? Right in the middle of my good time? Right in the middle of my good life? That's right. I've got a commitment. I've got to hold it. Oh, but the 5 foolish when it came right down to it. Oh, where's our commitment? We've got to run and get it. We've got to run and get our oil. It's too late now. It's too late now. You see, there's going to be some people who on down the road, when the Lord is coming, we're called away, and we're on the beautiful eternity of heaven. They're going to be going. They're going to be looking for their commitment. Brother Rutledge, what happened to my commitment? What happened to my walk with God? What happened to my prayer life? What happened to my beautiful things? Oh, yes, go on back to your fine ways of living. Go on back to your comforts. Go on back to your fine air-conditioned churches. Go on back to the wisdom and knowledge of men. But one thing you must remember is if you're going to make it to heaven, it's going to take a commitment that's going to outshine all comforts.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 I wonder sometimes, are we really committed like we say we are? Huh? I'm reminded of a story of a man who wanted to study the philosophies of communism. And as he endeavored to do so, he went to a bookstore and began to ask for a book on the knowledge and the philosophies and the ways of the communist people. A lady standing there said, hey, I tell you what, we're having a meeting tonight, the Communist Party is, and we'd like for you to join us and just find out what it's all about. Oh, no, I can't come tonight, he excused himself in saying, and I've got a movie to go to, you know, I've got another day, I've got another thing to do. I can't come to your meeting tonight. She said, that's okay, you would not make a good communist anyway. She said, I've been with the Communist Party 2 years. She says, in that 2 years, she said, I have not seen a movie. I have not read a book, anything other than communist philosophy. I have not been to a show. I have not endeavored in the comforts of the world. What do you do with all your spare time? I study the communist philosophies. I read their books. I attend their meetings. And I distribute literature to let everybody know what communism is all about. You mean it takes that kind of a commitment? And you want to know why in the last 30 years the Communist Party has grown the way it has grown? You want to know why just in the last 30, 40 years communism has grown the way it's grown? Because somebody sat down and said, I'm going to make a commitment to let the world know what I believe. Why? Why can't we get that kind of a determination that no matter what comes our way, I've got to show the world Jesus loves them. I've got to show the world Jesus cares. I've got to commit my life to Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I get so sick and tired of going to the churches that don't care. They're there for the fun. They're there for the show. They're there for the glamour. They're there for the good ways. They're there for the blessing of the Lord. They're there for the music. They're there for the shouting. But when it comes time for a commitment, where are you, church? Where are you? Where are you at? Where are you at? I'm looking for the committed. I'm looking for somebody that's going to make it no matter the cost.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The man built his bigger barns, not because he had a commitment, but because he was trying to find more comforts. More comforts here, more comforts there. The more beautiful things here, the more pleasure there. God's not looking for somebody who's going to store up treasures here on earth where rust and moth doth corrupt. But he's looking for somebody who's going to store up treasures in heaven where rust and moth cannot get to it. Where the corruptible things of the earth do not matter over there. What matters on the other side is a commitment. Is a commitment. I'm talking about a commitment that's not going to be changed by this wind or wave of doctrine. By this idea of man. By this church group. By this preacher. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Comfortable, we are. But committed, are we? You know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being comfortable. In fact, I believe God blesses us with many comforts. But let us not get the cart before the horse, as Brother Rutledge already spoke of this morning. Let us not get so caught up in our comforts and in our blessings that we forget what we're in it for. I've seen them come to the church. They didn't have nothing, Brother Rutledge. Didn't have anything. They didn't have a thing. But they gave the heart to God. They gave their life to God. And they began to commit their life to prayer and fasting and seeking God. And then the Lord began to bless them. Gave them a new car, new home, you know. Fine furniture. Nice family, nice clothes. You know, he began to build up with their prosperity. And the Lord began to prosper them. And there's nothing wrong with being prospered in the Lord. As long as we keep it in the right prospect. And as long as we don't forget where we got it. As long as we don't forget how we got it. The only way it's going to last is to keep a hold of a commitment that's going to last beyond the comforts of the world. Job was a man who knew what commitment was all about. When the comforts had gone, his house had fallen down, his kids had died, his camels were gone, his donkeys were gone, everything was gone. He lost everything. All he had was a wife and a few friends, if that's what you wanted to call them. And he still made a commitment to God, and it did not waver. His wife looked at him and said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" And he said, "You're a foolish woman." Oh, why? Because I've got a commitment, and I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder sometimes, could we pray and fast and seek God and pour our hearts out on the altar? Not God. You see, I need that new couch. You see, I need that new job. You see, I need $1,000 this week. You see, Lord, that I need all the prosperity blessings of today. No, Lord, you see there are people in the world going to hell. You see, there are people in my neighborhood who are not ready for God. You see my life. You see my life, Lord, that there is no commitment there. You see my heart that is just looking for comforts and not commit. God, give me a commitment. God, give me a commitment. God, give me a walk with you. Give me, Lord, a walk with you that will not waver. Give me an established walk with you that will not change.
Hallelujah.
Comforts or commitment? Comforts or commitment? I can't make the choice. I can't say the words. I can't make it for you. But each and every one of us have got to come and make our own commitment to Jesus Christ.
Yes,
you're not committing yourself to the pastor by the shaking of a hand. You're not committing yourself to the church by signing a card. You're not committing yourself to the body of Christ as accepting Him as your personal Savior. But you commit yourself to Jesus Christ through the baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. As we stand this morning, I don't want to tarry long. I don't want to hold long. But we've got to realize why you're here, why I'm here. There are things in our lives, things in your life, things in my life, that really are nothing more than luxuries. Just luxuries. It's comfortable to come to a house of God. It's comfortable to feel His presence. It's comfortable to be able to hear the beautiful singing, the teaching, all of the great things of God. But is that all we're in it for? Is that all we're looking for is just for today? Just let me live my life today. Let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm enjoying life. I'm comfortable. But as every head is bowed and every eye closed, I ask you, are you committed? Not committed to the pastor. Not committed to the church. Not committed to the role. Committed to Jesus Christ.
I must be saved.
There's a lot of things in the world that look good for today. And we feel like I've got to have this. I've got to do this. I've got to be something else.
Don't let me
whatever the cost. Lord, don't let me be lost for eternity. Eternity. God is here this morning. He's moving up and down these aisles and in between these pews, and He's talking to hearts and lives all over this church. I could call you out. I see those lives that God is speaking to right now. But no, I can't make the commitment for you. I can't do the work for you. You've got to do it. You've got to step out. You've got to make your way to an altar of prayer, saying, God, I want to make a commitment. I want to draw closer to you than I've ever been before. You realize there's power just in the fact of being committed. In Psalms 37 and 5, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Jesus could bless your life like you never expected to be blessed. He could prosper you. He could give you the spiritual blessings like you never expected to have. But first, it takes a commitment. This altar's open this morning, this afternoon. Every head is still bowed and every eye is still closed. And I wonder, out of the many that will be here, who would be the first who would step out and say, preacher, I want a closer walk with God. Preacher, I'm not satisfied with the things I have in my life of prosperity. I'm looking for a greater life in Jesus. Would you come today? Would you step into that aisle and let Jesus do the work in your heart today? Ma'am, sir, God is touching you. God is calling you to an altar of repentance. This is not for the terrible sinners only. This is not for the ones who do never go to church. But I'm speaking to those who are just lacking a commitment. Would you come? We've still got time. We've still got time. Would you come today? Above all else, listen to it as she sings it.
I must be saved.
Whatever
you have,
Lord,
to do,
whatever you've got to do to me,
don't let me for eternity,
be lost for eternity.
Above all else,
I must be saved. Every head is still bowed and every eye still closed. I know there are hearts and lives who need to be in this altar this morning. who need to be finding a greater commitment with Jesus Christ. I am not trying to make you a member of this church. I am not trying to obligate you in any way. I would like to pray for you. Every head is bowed and every eye closed. And if you would like for me to pray, that God would help you to make a greater commitment, I ask you that you would just lift a hand saying, "Preacher, God bless you, ma'am. Pray for me that I can make a greater commitment." God bless you. God bless you. There are hands going up all over the building now saying, "I'm not really satisfied with all of the comforts and the pleasures I have today. I'm looking for a commitment." Is there another hand that would like to go up? God bless you, ma'am. God's dealing with you. Oh, is there another? God bless you, young people. Kneel down right here. That's it.
Don't let me be lost for eternity.
Somebody else obey God. Somebody else obey God. Come on. Come on, obey God.
I must be saved. Oh, for a girl.
Let's gather in here and work with this girl. Come on, some of you. Praise God. Come on in.
Be saved.
Praise God.
Is there another that would like to come? Is there another that would like to come? Is there another that would like to come? Ma'am, would you come? Jesus is talking to you today. Young person, God is talking to you today. He's calling to you. Would you come? Ma'am, you're not happy. Sir, you're not happy. Why can't I find happiness? Because you're lacking that commitment. Ma'am, would you come? Would you come?
Would you come?
Jesus is talking to you.
To me.